Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got a great episode for you guys today. We got a very wonderful duo here with some blues, with some soul, a little rock and roll. They're called Lato, and this is their first song, Go.
How many ways to say the same thing? Couple of days ain't gonna change things. You should be miles down the road, watching me smile from the mirror as you go. Don't underestimate me. This leaving this don't faze me. Trust me, I know love. I am better on my own. You came by. Crazy, talking like you really thought you'd change me. Let me clear my throat, ain't gonna stutter on this note. It's time you packed your bags and go, 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 go. Not gonna cry, I hate wasting water. Won't spend my time replacing you. But I'll be on your mind when you're alone. You'll spend all your days sitting by the phone. Don't underestimate me. This leaving this don't faze me. Trust me, I know love. I am better on my own. You came by and told me I was crazy, talking like you really thought you'd change me. Let me clear my throat, ain't gonna stutter on this. Go, 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 go go, go, go. Go, 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 go. Ooh, go, 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 go. Ooh, ah.
Welcome back. That was Go by Lato. Let's get to know him a bit. So, why don't we go around, introduce yourselves, let the internet know your voice.
Okay, my name is Justina. I'm the lead singer and songwriter for Lato. And my trusty sidekick to my left here.
Yeah, my name is RG Rivera. I am the guitar player of Lato. I'm formerly the,
bass player, drummer, sound person.
The handyman of the band. Yeah, exactly.
The instrument.
Yes, exactly.
Now, it says on your website that you two met at open mics and started playing together and formed Lato there. Were there any particular open mics you guys favored over others?
The one that we met at was Iota in Arlington. And when we met him there, there was actually somebody else that I was part of a duo with who was our guitarist for a while, and that's why RG filled all the other roles. And then that guitarist got a job at NASA and moved to California, and RG stepped in the role. And
yeah, so I used to play maracas for the band. Well, prior to that, I was doing some solo gigs. I was formerly from Hawaii, and I was doing a duo thing there. And I came here, started to look for a new band, whatever. And then I met Justina and the duo, and then played maracas for them.
It was magic. Yeah, but his maracas are on point.
Went pretty well.
Not to deceive the internet, he actually never played maracas for us.
That was a fib. Now, you guys just finished recording and releasing your first album, am I correct? Bullets?
Bullets, yep.
Did you have any memorable experiences when recording it? Anything that you thought might have been, I don't know, hair-pulling frustrating, but came out really good? That was a weird question.
I'll defer to RG because I won't have nice things to say if I answer that one.
Well, I actually enjoyed this record when we did it. I totally get to explore more about my tone, of how it sounded like in the studio, and also more getting to know the guys that played with us. I think it was a great recording. I think the only problem we had was one time we were hangry. And we needed to order pizza to make us feel, and you know, everybody calm down. All right, guys, take a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
Get pizza, and then let's talk about things after.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of positive things about the recording experience, and all of it was memorable. I definitely just didn't want to answer the frustration question, but it was really cool how everything came together. We had actually a couple different people record with us on the track. A good friend, Carly Harvey, who's got incredible vocals. She sang on a couple of the songs and just kind of really lifted it. And like RG was saying, it kind of brought us all together as a band. Like, we're technically a duo, but we're because it's easier to transport two of us. But more often than not, we play full band, and our whole record is full band, and that's how we do a lot of our live shows.
Who are some of the other people in the full band?
Well, that's where it gets tricky. We have probably three rotating bass players and drummers. So it's whoever's available. But we found a really cool kid. His name is Mike. He's going by Mike Falcon now because that's his mother's maiden name.
That's badass.
It's totally badass. I was like, why didn't you call yourself that from the get-go? And he didn't record with us on the album, but he's super talented and dedicated and just really wants to be a part of it. And he's been who we've been gigging with for a while now, but Paul Dudley was the drummer on our album, and then we divided our bass players into four songs each, and Mike Eccles was the first bass player on our track, and then Britton James is the second bass player. So
all right, now when you were writing the songs for this album, did you have any specific kind of rituals you went through to get a song out? Or
so these songs, I can't really say because I don't know what the traditional songwriting practice is, but I wrote all of them myself. And I had them in my brain for years. And finally was like, we need to write an album. So I had four or five songs, and I met up with RG and I was like, hey, help me flesh this out. So he made the chords and guitar part, and, you know, RG likes happy chords. So he would always play major stuff, and I'd be like, no, make it darker. I want minor.
Yeah.
But he fleshed it out that way, and then kind of dictated how everyone else would play.
I think it was a really, really interesting way of writing music. Justina gave me a lot of thoughts of how she wants the sound to be for the songs. Pretty much what I did was pull the tricks that I know and like the chords that I know in my head and just put in the sound. And collaborating with Mike Eccles and Paul Dudley, that was in the first four songs. I mean, Paul was in all of the songs, but I think they put a lot of flavor in how we should play it also, and it affected the way I played and influenced me a lot. Kind of guided me to how we should make it sound as a band, but, you know, essentially we already had like how it would sound like, and then they just added a couple more flavors that we didn't have obviously as a vocals mm-hmm. and guitar, and I think that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it came out way different. So there are a couple of the songs that I probably like the first three songs that we recorded that I did like little demos on my computer, and I sent them to everyone. It was just like little loops from GarageBand that I pulled together, and I sent it out so everyone would get a feel for what I wanted the song to sound like. And literally none of the songs on the album sound anything like the demos, and they became completely different songs. Lyrically and melodically they're the same, but everything else around it is completely different, and that's credited to, you know, RG's rock and funk background, and Mike Eccles' neo soul and blues background, and then Paul's go-go, you know, beats and his gospel drummer fills. So it's definitely interesting. We have sort of a schizophrenic grouping of songs.
Now, on that song Go, Justina, your vocal range is incredible on
Thank
that
you.
Song. What's your singing background before forming Lado?
I mean, I've been singing since I was a kid. I did choir in high school. When I was in college, I had 2 years of voice lessons at a classical university. So I guess formally, yes. I'm classically trained, but outside of those 2 years of training, it's all stuff that I've taught myself. And I have a huge girl crush on Beyonce. So like when I was in middle school, I would just listen to her tracks on repeat, be like, I want to do what she just did, and just keep trying. So it's just pushing myself to try different things until I get it to the level of perfection that I think is satisfactory.
Did you two have any influences in common when coming together that you'd both say helped form your sound?
That.
No.
No. way different.
No.
As Justina just answered that, background-wise, I was born and raised in the Philippines, so I definitely had a different kind of set of music when I was growing up. I always heard like 80s, 90s rock, like maybe 90s more. And then as a teenager, when I was in high school, listening to a lot of punk genre songs, I don't know, Blink 182, Green Day, stuff like that. And that's where I started to have interest in guitar. And definitely that was like the first to go, like, you know, guitar player without distortions, I don't know. that's so hard how you're going to make it through the world without a distortion or like anything like that. But I definitely did not close my doors to other stuff. Like I started listening to acoustic, and I thought that I was lost because I couldn't play acoustic. But when I started to play R&B, stuff like that, hip hop, funk, blues, it definitely opened like the whole realm of music to me. And I think as long as you keep in trying, keep reaching on other genres and other styles, you'll be able to reach as long as you keep practicing and, you know, keep yourself influenced by anything.
No, it's keep those doors open.
Yep.
Let's go on to a segment we have on the show called Five Questions. Here it is. Cue the music. It's time for Five Questions. All right, the first one. What's the worst gig you ever had?
You first.
Okay. I was in the Philippines. I had this really, really cheap guitar. I think I bought it for like, what, 20 bucks. No pickups, nothing like that. Obviously, the sound system sounded like a megaphone with bad feedback and all that, because the speakers was facing us and there was no monitors. The feedback was just horrible and we sounded like cans. I thought that was the worst one, but then it made it worse when my guitar broke in the middle of me playing.
So that's punk rock.
Definitely,
you
that was
you
that
broke
time,
your guitar on purpose in the middle of you playing.
So yeah, that was my worst one, I think.
For me, it was surprise birthday party for somebody's wife, and our keys player came in, and I guess she was just thinking that she was going to be filler. And didn't actually have to learn keys parts for any of the songs. And all the songs on my set list were like white girl pop songs that have a ton of synth in them. And so I remember looking at her and being like, hey, can you just hit the first chord for this song? And she was like, I don't know the key. It's like, okay, that's weird. So I go to the guitarist, ask him the same thing. He's like, I don't know this song. It's not my job to know the synth part. And so we had to scrap like 7 or 8 of my songs. And then it was freezing and we were outside and it was raining. And then the power went out on us 3 different times. That was probably the worst. But the good news is they had like bacon tables. They had like a bacon chutney, bacon salad forks. And it was like the silver lining of the terrible gig.
The bacon lining.
The bacon lining, exactly.
It wasn't too bad then.
All right. The worst equipment malfunction you've had on stage.
I think we probably have the same one.
Which one is this?
We were playing a gig in Old Town Alexandria, and beer was dropped into RG's amp, and the amp stopped working. and it was, we were supposed to go on at 10 o'clock, and the amp was not working at 9:55. So RG was mad, but I was like, we're not going to miss this gig. We're not going to lose this gig. You need to go home and get another amplifier.
Yeah, so pretty much my equipment got beer spilled in it by... It wasn't intentional. Someone had
just
left
like
his beer.
Wires crisscross.
Yeah, and then
you
someone
left
had
beer.
Left my beer. It wasn't.
It was your beer.
It was my
totally
beer.
Your beer.
Yes. But someone was very careless of like walking around wires as well when they know that the stage was like
really small space. Yeah,
wires are everywhere. So yeah, I thought my amp was gonna go out. Like I was like, man, I'm never gonna get back this amp. But 2 weeks later, actually, the amp was fine. It just we waited for the beer to dry up and.
You're just
better.
Sticking a giant bowl
yeah,
of rice.
Tone, I mean, the tone sounded like it has beer in it. So,
is that
because
he's Asian? Is that why you asked?
No, that's because that's what I do with my phone.
But it was probably the worst malfunction that I could think of, knowing how much the amp I had. And I'm like, man, I just lost my amp tonight. So, yeah.
But it's all better now.
Yep.
Well, that's good. All right. The scariest or dirtiest place you've stayed on tour?
We haven't been on tour.
Yeah.
So.
Any out-of-town gigs?
Not yet.
Not like that we need to stay overnight. No.
Mm. Well, I feel like we've... Oh. The first time... there's a place in D.C., and I don't want to name the place, but it's in Northwest D.C., and... To get there, you have to go through this like back alleyway where it's just like a bunch of graffiti ridden back doors to different factories. And there's like nobody around. And they're like, oh, here's this, you know, upscale establishment that you're going to play at. I was like, oh, my God, we're going to get shot. But literally all you have to do is like go inside one of those graffiti ridden buildings. And it's just glorious. In there, and it's a nice little farmer's market, and they've got an upscale, you know, venue next door that people have their wedding receptions at. It's just deceiving.
It's worth exchanging with your life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a scary approach.
Exactly.
All right. The closest you've come to quitting music?
I should say... Mine was, it was the scariest moment in my life, I think. So, I don't know, a lot of people probably don't know, I am still in the military. I'm active duty Army. But prior to me going joining the Army, I was already playing guitar for maybe 6-7 years. So, I've obviously when you go to basic training, you don't do anything but to train and you don't have anything. And then my mom brought me my guitar after basic training. And it was the scariest thing when I held my guitar and I played the chords and I couldn't feel what I normally feel when I play the guitar. Like, that scared the crap out of me. I'm like, Mom, I don't play the same. And just like, no, you sound the same. Like, no, it doesn't feel the same. Like, I literally was like so nervous that I don't know if I can get it back. But it took me 2 weeks of like straight up playing every day for like 2 hours just to get the feel back. But it was the scariest thing for not playing for 4 months straight. So yeah.
So I like I said, I went to school for music my first 2 years of undergrad, and then of my sophomore year, decided I wanted to do missions. So I left, and just kind of left music where it was, and was like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, go get an English degree and go work in like a third world country and do really good things there. And so music was on the back burner. Like, I did it as a hobby. I'd do karaoke and that kind of stuff. But I was no longer pursuing it. And I don't think it was like me quitting. It was just like a sabbatical. I only really started pursuing music, as a career and something, that I wanted to take seriously when I was 25, which is a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah. I'm 27 now. So yeah, I haven't taken a break since then, and I don't think I will.
All right. And the last question. What's your best memory together as a group?
It's more of something RG did. One of the first times we were practicing with RG, I asked him a question if everyone in his family
oh, man.
Was musical. And I was like busting RG about like he takes the shortest solos known to man, which is totally not true if you've ever seen him play, and he's super humble. But it's one of the most endearing qualities about him. But I asked him this question. I said, you know, is the rest of your family super talented also? And he was like, I'm the best in my family. I was like, that's not what I asked you. I just wanted to know if the rest of you also played
so
music.
So this story has been told so many times, but I don't think she knew what I meant when I said that. But there was... So I automatically assumed that when you asked me that question, I was like, is she trying to get anyone from my family to play with us?
No.
And I'm like, I'm the best one you get from my family, so don't trade me up.
This is just like making conversation. He's just like, I'm the best.
Yeah, so yeah. They didn't know that part that I added in the back of my mind. I just said it out loud. I'm like, I'm the best in my family. You can't find no one else. But I think for me, it was, for me in this band, I totally enjoyed when we had our album release in IOTA.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the most fun or memorable for me. All my coworkers came. If nobody knew, I work in a clinic, and I'm the only guy in our clinic. I work with all females. They all came, and we have a front desk lady, Miss Sparks. She brought her daughter with her to watch us play, and I'm like, man, she's 70 years old right now. Man, how can a 70-year-old hang out at 10 p.m. at night just to watch me play? And I think that was really, really touching for me that they came and supported my music, because I talk about it at work, but they were so happy that we did finish our album and we get to play it live, and they all came and supported us. So I think for me that was that, and we played excellent that night. I think we sounded really, really good that night, and I enjoyed that moment. So
yeah, I take back my memory. I also want to say the album release. Yeah, that was awesome. We had like 100 people come out. People, I mean, I haven't seen in forever, and it was just like a huge. It was amazing to see how many people supported us. So yeah, good one.
Mm, yeah,
good memories.
You are the best in your family.
I am.
Now, the next song you played is "Last Time." Anything you want to say about it before we play it for everyone listening?
I can share, I mean, a little bit of what it's about. There's like a weird story behind it, and I'll leave that for, you know, if you want to ask me in person. But all of my songs are actually about relationships that I've had, past relationships. And this one in particular is just kind of realizing that as much as you think that you need somebody, if they're toxic to the point that they're destroying you as a person, then if you hang on to them, even if you think you need them, you're eventually going to destroy yourself. And so it's just letting go of that and recognizing that.
All right. Well, here it is for you people listening out there. It's Last Time by Lato.
Lies and bold statements, so drunk nights we both cave in, just one taste of your lips. Fine lines and giant steps to long fights and new regrets. The last time I cried.
Song you just heard was Last Time by Lato. I forgot to ask a question last segment, actually. So I noticed on your website that there are periods in between L-A-T-O.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Lato an acronym for something?
It is. It means left at the Olaf, like Olaf from the movie Frozen. And the way that that name came about was that we were at Bonnaroo. My brother, our old guitarist, and another friend of ours, two summers ago, and it was when we had just started adding more people to the band, and we knew that the current guitarist at the time was going to be moving to California, that we were like, we need to change our name to be more inclusive of everyone else we're adding. So we were trying to think of names all weekend, And my brother was coming up with like the silliest things, like rogue apples and like weird stuff like that. But we kept getting lost on the way from our tent to the festival grounds, because it was like a mile apart and there's just tents everywhere. So we kept getting lost, and we saw this big Olaf balloon on one of the tents that was in the center of the tent site. And we were like, okay, every time we got there, we said, make a left at the Olaf. And that's how we found our way. And my brother was like, you should call yourselves Left at the Olaf. I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it made a cool acronym. So I was like, that can be a contender. And it just kind of stuck. You know, I was outvoted, even though only two of us were actually part of the band and the other two had nothing to do with it.
Your brother has bright ideas, so.
Yeah, don't tell him that.
Okay, I'm not.
Kids got moxie, going places. So you guys have a little mini Atlantic tour coming up. What cities are you hitting?
We are going to New York City. That's where we're starting it. We're going to also go to Philadelphia, make a trip up to Boston, and hit Providence, Rhode Island, and circle back around, do a show in Baltimore and Richmond, and come back to D.C.
And what's the dates of this?
It'll be December 10th through the 21st.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. So right during the holiday shopping rush, but before Christmas.
Exactly. Hopefully there will be people back from school and visiting family and all that nonsense, and they just kind of want to get out and groove to some local music. Yeah.
You don't want to go to shopping malls. You want music.
Exactly.
That's what you want.
Exactly.
And what better gift for the holiday season than bullets from Lado?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You should be our marketing manager. I like
oh,
that.
No. I should not. I got a couple things to tell you guys about. First off, open mics, go to them. They're great. That's where you get your like heart and soul of whatever local music community you have. You get musicians coming from all over playing stuff you normally wouldn't hear in regular sets. Two open mics that I really like are every Tuesday night at Philadelphia Tavern in Old Town Manassas, and every Thursday night at Epicure Cafe in Fairfax off Route 28. Both great places. They got great food, great atmosphere, great music. I only have one show to tell you people about. It is on November 18th and November 19th at Epicure. It's the Shawn Myers Remembrance Show to remember the great Shawn Myers, who was a local music staple in the Fairfax area for quite some time. And the band's playing. You got Kid Claws, The Dusk Whales, Collider, Fuzz Queen, Dr. Robinson's Fiasco, Yum. Pretty much I can look down the list and know who's been on the show. And yeah, that's going to be a great time. It's two nights, so you could probably make it one night, if not both. So go out, go listen to some music, people. Now there's one last song you performed for us tonight. It's Happy Song. First off, the opening licks in this song are awesome. I love the bluesy licks. But is there a story behind this song as well?
Yes, there is. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast because she's gonna kill me. I had a friend call me like a while ago and tell me about this guy that she had started dating and how awesome he was, and you know, they're best friends and she loves him and all that nonsense. And she called me like 2 weeks later, and they were at this party, and she's like, okay, so, you know, we've been drinking a little bit, and, you know, I know that people's inhibitions are lowered or whatever, but he literally just told me that Tina Fey is a 10 and I'm a power 7. And and I told her, I was like, you should dump him right now, walk back inside and dump him. They've been together for 2 years since then. She's still not happy. He's still a jerk face. But that's kind of what the song is about. It doesn't exactly address that. The second verse kind of does, but it's just about the expectation that women should be in relationships. And if you don't get into a relationship or find somebody, then you're incomplete and you're doing something wrong and there's something wrong with you. And it's just kind of my proclamation of, yeah, that's not how life goes. And I'm going to do me.
Damn right.
Yeah.
No one's a power seven.
Exactly.
I do like that term, though.
I hadn't heard it until this douche was like, you're a power seven. I was like, wow, that's, you found creative ways to be a jerk.
Is that like in like B plus?
Exactly. It's like, it's like when you clean up, you're a seven. Like when you, you know, doll up, you're a seven.
Well, here it is. Big thank you to Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder for recording and mixing and making everything sound wonderful and beautiful and knowing more about the knobs and dials on soundboards than I ever will. Really big thank you to Bias Studios for having us and hosting us and letting us record here. Be sure to go to, you guys have the Facebook, the Instagram, all that.
The Twitter, the SoundCloud, the website, all that nonsense.
All Lato Music.
No, the website is latomusic.com, LATOmusic.com. Facebook, you can just search Lato. Twitter, it's Lato_DC. And then Instagram is Lato Music.
There you go. That's all your, all the handles you got to follow. And while you're at it, feel free to follow at Mark Ryder Music, at Ken Barnum on Instagram. Like Cassathetic on Facebook. Follow Cassathetic on Instagram because we're posting videos all the time of the stuff going on in here, which is awesome. Awesome little snippets. You get little snippets of the bands coming on. So, I'm going to quit promoting online stuff because you guys know how to operate the internet well enough if you found this show. So here it is. It's Happy Song by Lato. I hope you have a happy couple weeks, and I'll be back with you with more music.
All this time, I'm trying to find him. All this time, I let go of me. Mama said, you know when you find him, you'll sing songs so happy and sweet. He's come and gone, Mr. Wrong, Mr. Right Man. Now here's one for me. Here's my happy song, my declaration of liberty. I don't need nobody by my side to make me feel complete. Baby boy, gon' run away. Just right for me. Now he says she's nothing without him. Now he says she has to compete. Baby girl, you start serving millions. Baby girl, get up on your feet. You know better, you're better without him. Now he's one for me. Here's my happy song, my declaration of liberty. I don't need nobody by my side to make me feel complete. Baby boy, go run away. In the road, paint my face, and maybe then I'll find someone who loves me. Tired to know the expectations. Step in the road, paint my face, and maybe then I'll find someone who loves me. Ooh, here's my happy song, my declaration of liberty. I don't need nobody by my side to make me feel complete. Baby, rabbits.